All right, let's dive into this. Chronic neurological problems, kind of a heavy topic, but super important for anyone in healthcare and really anyone in general.
Definitely.
We're going to be using this nursing study guide someone sent in to kind of guide our conversation today. And whether you are studying for your nursing exams or maybe you're a seasoned pro just looking for a refresher, I think we're going to have a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I think so too.
So to get started, before we can really understand what goes wrong with the nervous system, we have to know what it looks like when it's working right.
Absolutely. It's like building a solid foundation before you start constructing anything else.
So give us the rundown. What are the signs of a healthy, happy nervous system?
Okay, so picture this. You walk into a patient's room and they're bright-eyed and alert. You know, they're aware of you and what's going on around them. Their movements are smooth, coordinated, no jerky or shaky business. They can follow your finger with their eyes.
Okay, so everything's in sync.
Exactly. Their reflexes are sharp, they respond appropriately when you test them, and their senses are all working as they should. Oh, and one more thing. Their face, it's symmetrical. That's a good sign that the nerves controlling their facial muscles are firing properly.
So those are kind of our baseline observations.
Yeah.
But what about when things are off? When you notice those so-called abnormal findings?
Ah, that's where the real detective work begins. It's like, we have to put all the puzzle pieces together. You know, like if someone's not as alert as they usually are, maybe they're confused. That change in their level of consciousness, that's a big red flag.
So it's a sign that something deeper might be going on.
Exactly. It could be anything from a medication side effect to a serious infection or even a head injury. We've got to investigate further.
And I bet there are tons of other clues you look for.
Oh, absolutely. Take the Babinski sign, for instance. It's a simple reflex test where you run a tool along the sole of the foot. In a healthy adult, the toes should curl down. But if that big toe goes up, that's a positive Babinski sign, and it can indicate a problem in the central nervous system, like a spinal cord injury or even a stroke.
Wow. So a simple reflex can tell us a lot.
You got it. And then there are other things like tremors, muscle weakness or paralysis, sensory changes, problems with speech or vision. They all point us in different directions.
It really makes you realize how interconnected everything is in the nervous system.
It's amazing, isn't it? One tiny glitch can throw off the whole system. That's why a thorough neurological exam is so important.
Right, so you can catch those early warning signs. Speaking of catching things early, let's talk about diagnostic tests. It's like our medical CSI episode, right?
Never.
What kind of tools do we have in our arsenal to help us solve these neurological mysteries?
Oh, we've got a whole bunch of cool gadgets. A CT scan, for example, is like a super detailed x-ray of the brain. It's great for quickly spotting things like brain bleeds or fractures, especially in emergency situations.
I imagine that's incredibly helpful when time is of the essence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we do have to be careful with CT scans, especially if we're using contrast dye. Always going to ask about allergies first.
Right, safety first.
Yeah.
Now, what about MRIs? Those seem to be pretty standard these days for a variety of issues.
MRIs are amazing. Imagine this. You dip a sponge in water, and the water seeps into all the nooks and crannies, right? Well, an MRI uses powerful magnets and radio waves to basically dip your brain in a magnetic field. And this allows us to see super detailed images of your brain and spinal cord, helping us diagnose things like tumors, MS lesions, or even subtle signs of a stroke.
So we're not just looking at bones with an MRI. We're looking at soft tissues and all the intricate structures of the brain. That makes sense. But I do remember hearing something about not being able to have any metal on you during an MRI.
Right, exactly. Metal and those powerful magnets don't mix. We always screen patients beforehand to make sure they don't have any metal implants or anything like that. Safety, again, is paramount.
Makes perfect sense. Now, our study guide also mentioned lumbar punctures, which honestly sound kind of intimidating. Can you break those down for us?
Yeah, I get why people might be nervous about them, but honestly, they're incredibly valuable. It's basically a way to sample the cerebrospinal fluid, the fluid that cushions your brain and spinal cord. And by analyzing this fluid, we can look for signs of infection, inflammation, bleeding, even things like MS.
So it's like getting a direct window into what's happening inside the nervous system.
Exactly. Each test gives us a different piece of the puzzle, helping us paint a clearer picture of what's going on.
Fascinating. Okay, listeners, let's shift gears for a bit and talk about something I'm sure we've all experienced at some point, headaches. But here's the thing. Did you know there are actually different types of headaches, each with its own set of symptoms and causes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're not just talking about your run-of-the-mill, need-more-coffee headache here. Our study guide focuses on three main types: tension headaches, migraines, and those dreaded cluster headaches.
Perfect. Let's break those down, starting with the most common culprit, tension headaches.
All right, so think about that feeling like a tight band is squeezing your head. You know, that kind of dull, achy pain. That's your classic tension headache, often brought on by stress, muscle tension in your head, neck, and shoulders, or even just bad posture.
Yeah, I think we've all been there, slouching over our computers all day. But migraines, those are a whole different beast, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Migraines are a neurological disorder. It's not just a bad headache. It's actual changes happening in the brain. Think intense throbbing pain, usually on one side of the head. Sometimes people experience nausea, sensitivity to light and sound, and even what's called an aura.
An aura? What's that like?
Well, imagine you're suddenly seeing flashing lights or zigzag lines, or maybe you feel tingling in your hand or arm. It can even involve difficulty speaking. It's like the brain's warning system saying, hey, a migraine is coming.
Wow, that sounds pretty intense. So with migraines, we're talking about a much more complex process than with tension headaches.
You got it. And while we know things like stress, certain foods, and hormonal changes can trigger migraines, we're still learning a lot about what actually causes them.
It's amazing how much we still don't know about the brain. And then there are cluster headaches, which I've heard are less common but can be incredibly painful.
Oh, they are. Imagine excruciating, sharp pain, usually focused around one eye or temple. And it's not just one headache, it's clusters of them. Someone might get multiple headaches a day for weeks or even months, and then nothing for a while.
That sounds awful. I can't even imagine what triggers those episodes.
We're still trying to figure that out, but we do know it involves the trigeminal nerve, which is responsible for sensation in your face. There also seems to be a strong genetic component.
Wow, so even with headaches, there's so much variety. Now let's talk about two chronic neurological conditions that I'm sure you've heard of. Multiple sclerosis, or MS, and Parkinson's disease, or PD.
Two big ones for sure. Both MS and Parkinson's involve a gradual loss of neurological function, but they affect the nervous system in very different ways.
Okay, so let's break those down, starting with MS. What exactly is going on in the body with this condition?
Think of your nerves like electrical wires, and the myelin sheath is the insulation that protects them. In MS, your own immune system, which normally protects you from invaders, mistakenly attacks this myelin sheath, causing inflammation and damage.
So it's like the insulation on the wires is getting frayed and disrupting the flow of electricity.
Exactly. And when those signals get disrupted, you can have all sorts of symptoms: fatigue, muscle weakness, problems with balance and coordination, even vision changes.
So it sounds like MS can affect every aspect of a person's life.
It absolutely can. And the course of MS is unpredictable. Some people experience periods of remission where symptoms subside, while others have a more progressive form of the disease.
That unpredictability must be incredibly difficult to deal with. Now, what about Parkinson's disease? What's happening there?
So Parkinson's primarily affects a part of the brain called the substantia nigra. This area produces dopamine, a neurotransmitter that's crucial for movement control. Think of it like a chemical messenger in the brain. In Parkinson's, the brain isn't producing enough dopamine, which leads to those characteristic movement problems.
So if there's not enough dopamine, that explains why movement is affected in Parkinson's. What kind of movement issues are we talking about?
Well, the classic symptoms are tremors, which are those involuntary shaking movements you might see in the hands or limbs. Then there's rigidity or stiffness in the muscles. Also, slow movements and difficulty with balance are common.
So both MS and Parkinson's are chronic conditions that can really impact a person's physical abilities. But what about the psychological effects? It can't be easy living with these kinds of challenges.
You're absolutely right. Imagine the frustration of not being able to control your own body the way you used to. That can lead to feelings of anxiety and depression. And then there's the social isolation that can come with these conditions. You know, not being able to participate in activities you used to enjoy, or maybe feeling like a burden on others. It can be a lot to cope with.
It really highlights the need for a holistic approach to care, right?
Absolutely. We need to address not just the physical symptoms, but also the emotional and social impact of these conditions. It's about supporting the whole person, not just their disease.
And that support involves not just medical professionals, but also family members, friends, and support groups, right?
100%. It takes a village to help someone navigate the complexities of a chronic neurological condition. Support systems are essential.
This has been so insightful. We've covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive, from understanding how a healthy nervous system works to recognizing those red flags that something might be off. We explored some common diagnostic tests and even delved into the world of headaches and the different ways they can manifest. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about the challenges people face when living with conditions like MS and Parkinson's, and we'll explore what can be done to help them thrive despite these challenges. Stay tuned. And we're back, diving deeper into the world of chronic neurological problems. Before the break, we were talking about MS and Parkinson's, and I think it's important to really try to understand what it's like for someone living with these conditions every single day.
You know, it's one thing to read about these diseases in a textbook, but it's a whole other ballgame to actually experience the daily challenges they bring.
Absolutely. And our study guide mentions this increased risk of falls, which I guess makes sense considering the mobility issues that can come with conditions like MS and Parkinson's.
Yeah, definitely a big concern. And it's not just falls, you know, everyday tasks that most people don't even think twice about. Things like getting dressed, taking a shower, eating a meal, even using the toilet. They can become major hurdles for someone with a chronic neurological condition.
Our study guide calls them ADLs.
Right. ADLs, activities of daily living. They're the basic things we do to take care of ourselves. And when those become difficult, it can really impact a person's sense of independence and self-esteem.
It's heartbreaking to think about. And it's not just the physical limitations either, right? There's the emotional toll as well.
Absolutely. Imagine the frustration of needing help with things you used to do effortlessly. That can lead to anxiety, depression, social isolation. It's like a ripple effect, you know? The physical symptoms impact your emotional well-being, which then makes it even harder to cope with everything.
And it affects the people around them too, right? The caregivers.
Oh, for sure. Caregivers often take on a huge responsibility, both physically and emotionally. And it can be incredibly draining.
It's so important to remember that. It's not just the person with the condition who needs support. It's their loved ones as well.
100%. Support groups, counseling, things like that can be lifesavers for both patients and caregivers.
So where do we go from here? How do we effectively treat these conditions, knowing that there isn't always a cure?
Well, it's all about managing the disease and helping the person live as full a life as possible. Our study guide really emphasizes this multi-pronged approach, and it starts with managing the symptoms. Medications, therapies like physical therapy, occupational therapy, even speech therapy, they all play a role.
It sounds like it takes a whole team to provide the best care possible.
It really does. We've got neurologists, nurses, therapists, social workers, and of course the patient's primary care doctor, all working together to create a comprehensive care plan.
And that care plan needs to be individualized, right? Because each person's experience with these conditions is unique.
Exactly. What works for one person may not work for another, and their needs will change over time as the disease progresses. So it's about constant assessment and adjustment. You know, we also have to be mindful of preventing complications that can arise from these conditions.
Like what kinds of complications?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, falls are a huge concern, especially for older adults. We also worry about infections, particularly urinary tract infections, especially if someone's bladder control is affected, which can happen in MS.
So it's about being proactive and recognizing those potential risks early on.
Exactly. Early intervention can make a world of difference. And of course, we have to remember that aspiration pneumonia is another risk, particularly if swallowing becomes difficult.
That's when food or liquid goes down the wrong way and ends up in the lungs.
Right. So we might recommend things like swallowing exercises or dietary modifications to help prevent that from happening. It's a team effort, for sure. Healthcare professionals, caregivers, and the patient. All working together to manage the disease and maintain the best quality of life possible.
Speaking of the patient, our study guide really emphasizes the importance of patient education.
Knowledge is power, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we empower patients with information about their condition, their treatment options, ways to manage their symptoms, it gives them a sense of control in a situation that can often feel very out of control.
So it's not just about telling them what to do. It's about giving them the tools to be active participants in their own care.
You got it. And there are some amazing resources out there to help with that. Organizations like the National Multiple Sclerosis Society and the Parkinson's Foundation offer tons of information, support groups, educational programs. They're invaluable resources for patients and their families.
And don't underestimate the power of connecting with others who are going through similar challenges. Whether it's through support groups or online forums, sharing stories and strategies can make a huge difference.
It's all about creating that sense of community, that you're not alone in this journey. There's a whole network of people out there who get it, you know, who understand what you're going through.
It's like building a safety net. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of a multidisciplinary approach to care, the need for individualized treatment plans, and the role of patient education and support. As we head into the final part of our deep dive, let's focus on the overall goals of treatment for these chronic neurological conditions. Because ultimately, it's not just about treating symptoms, it's about helping people live full and meaningful lives.
I completely agree. It's about helping them thrive despite the challenges.
Exactly. So stay tuned as we explore how to make that happen. Welcome back to our deep dive.
Yeah.
We've covered so much ground already, but now it's time to put it all together and really think about how we can apply all this knowledge to provide the best possible care for folks dealing with these conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time to put on our care provider hats and think about what we can actually do to help.
So let's talk about the goals of treatment for chronic neurological problems like MS and Parkinson's. We've talked a lot about the science, the symptoms, the challenges, but now let's focus on what we're actually trying to achieve when we're caring for these patients.
Right, because it's not always about curing the disease, especially with conditions like MS and Parkinson's. Often it's more about managing the disease, slowing its progression, and helping the person maintain as much function and independence as possible.
So it's about helping them live their best lives despite the challenges they're facing.
Exactly. And our study guide really emphasizes a holistic approach to treatment. You know, it's not just about pills and procedures. It's about addressing the whole person, their physical needs, their emotional well-being, their social support system.
It's about that whole person approach we've been talking about.
100%. So first and foremost, we've got to manage those symptoms. We've talked about medications for things like tremors, spasticity, pain, but it goes way beyond that. Physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, they all play a huge role in helping people maintain their function and independence.
It sounds like it really takes a team of people working together to address all the different aspects of these conditions.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about the psychological support. You know, living with a chronic neurological condition can be incredibly isolating and emotionally draining. Counseling, support groups, even things like mindfulness and stress reduction techniques, they can all be incredibly helpful for people coping with the emotional burden of their illness.
It's all about giving them the tools and the support they need to navigate this journey. And as their condition changes over time, their needs will change too, right?
Absolutely. Flexibility and individualized care are key. What works for one person may not work for another, and what works at one point in time might need to be adjusted down the line. It's about constantly assessing, reevaluating, and adapting the care plan to meet the person's evolving needs.
Makes sense. And speaking of adapting, our study guide also mentions the importance of preventing complications. What are some of the common complications associated with these conditions that we should be aware of?
Well, we talked about falls earlier. That's always a huge concern, especially as people get older or their mobility declines. Infections are another worry, particularly urinary tract infections, especially if someone is having bladder control issues, like can happen with MS.
And aspiration pneumonia. We talked about that in the last part.
Right, aspiration pneumonia. That's always a risk if someone has difficulty swallowing. You know, if food or liquid goes down the wrong way and ends up in the lungs. So we might recommend things like swallowing exercises or dietary modifications to help prevent that.
It's all about thinking ahead and being proactive.
Exactly. And it's about working together as a team, healthcare professionals, caregivers, and of course the patient themselves, all playing a role in managing the disease and preventing complications.
It's about recognizing that everyone has something valuable to contribute.
100%. Healthcare professionals bring their expertise, caregivers provide that essential day-to-day support, and the patient, well, they're the expert on their own body and their own experience.
It's so important to remember that. Their voice, their perspective, it's crucial in making sure their care plan truly meets their needs.
Couldn't agree more. It's about empowering them to be active participants in their own care, to advocate for themselves, to feel like they have some control over their health journey. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Helping people live full and meaningful lives despite the challenges they face.
Well said. And I think that's a perfect note to end on. We've learned so much in this deep dive. We've explored the complexities of the nervous system, delved into the intricacies of diagnosis and treatment, and really tried to grasp what it's like to live with these chronic neurological conditions.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. We've talked about the importance of early detection, the need for a multidisciplinary approach to care, the role of patient education and support. It's been a really comprehensive look at this whole world.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, I hope you feel empowered by all this knowledge. I hope you feel inspired to learn more, to advocate for your patients, to continue to grow and evolve as healthcare professionals. Because knowledge is power. And the more we understand about these conditions, the better equipped we are to provide truly compassionate and effective care.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you for having me on this deep dive. It's been a pleasure sharing this journey with you.
And thank you for sharing your expertise. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep advocating for the best possible care for all.